Man, the title of my sermon tonight is The Battle for Your Mind. The Battle for Your Mind. Your mind is so important. And I want to point out, first of all, this verse in verse 23 of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And when the Bible talks about the heart, it's talking about the seat of your emotion, the seat of your thought, right? This is how you feel about things. And so we need to guard our hearts and minds today, because there is a battle on for our mind, okay? The devil wants to control your mind, all right? Now let's back up a little bit in this chapter and get some of the tips here. Verse 13, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go, for she is thy life. There are certain things that you need someone to teach you. You need someone to instruct you and help you to understand things, right? And so a child would do well to listen to their mom, listen to their dad. Church members can learn something from their pastor, right? You can learn something from teachers and preachers and different people that God has placed in your life that can teach you things. Now, of course, we can theoretically get everything just from the Bible and from the Holy Spirit ourselves. But instruction, the Bible says, is something that we should cling to, okay? Because instruction is something that we love if we want to gain knowledge, if we want to gain wisdom. We like being taught things, amen? So the Bible says to take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. And again, instruction means someone is instructing you, someone's teaching you, okay? Verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, pass away. For they sleep not except they've done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So the Bible is talking about how there are good people who want to instruct you. They want to teach you. And then, of course, most of all, the Holy Spirit of God wants to teach us through the Bible. And he's saying, look, keep my words, he says in verse 20. Keep those in front of you all the time. Listen to what they have to say. Don't let them depart from your eyes, and also keep them in your heart, right? Memorize the Word of God, read the Word of God. You need this constantly coming in. Why? Because you have all these wicked, ungodly people out there that want to take you down a path of darkness. So the book of Proverbs makes it clear. Look, there's a way of life, and there's a way of death. There's a way of following the Lord, and there's a way of following the wicked, and following the devil, and following ungodly, froward men. Now flip over, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep God's word in front of you. Make sure you have good information, good teaching, good doctrine coming in all the time to counteract the junk that the world is going to be teaching you, okay? Because there's a battle for your mind. Who's going to win the battle? Is the Lord going to win the battle? And is he going to determine how you feel about things, what you think about things? Or is the devil going to win the battle and you're just going to have a worldly philosophy on life and a worldly philosophy on current events and the day that we're living? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. The Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, watch this, we do not war after the flesh. So do we war? Yes, we do. We don't war after the flesh, but we do war. We're in a war. There's a battle. What kind of a war is it? Is it a physical battle? No, because we don't war after the flesh. It says in verse number 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Carnal means fleshly, physical. Think of the Spanish word carne, which means meat, right? So he's saying the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not physical weapons. We don't literally pick up a sword or an axe or those type of weapons. But he says the weapons of our warfare are mighty. They're not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, this is not talking about sacking a city or a fortress when it says pulling down strongholds. This isn't talking about storming Area 51 or something, you know. This isn't talking about, you know, going to some gated city, some walled city, some kind of a fortress and storming it when it talks about pulling down strongholds. Because in the next verse, he defines himself in verse 5, casting down imaginations. So the fortresses, the walls, the bulwarks, the strongholds that need to be stormed and taken down are actually imaginations. They're actually thoughts. They are actually things that go on in the mind. The battle is a battle of the mind. So the Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Folks, this should be our goal, is to get our thoughts to line up with his thoughts, right? Bringing our thoughts into captivity. So we storm into the stronghold of your mind, and we take some prisoners. You know, there's some refractory thoughts in there, some rebellious thoughts. We need to take them captive, and we need to bring them over to the right side, right? And we need to bring them into conformity with what the Word of God teaches. And look, we've all grown up believing things that were not right. We've all grown up believing things that weren't biblical. You know, I think back to some of the opinions that I had as a child or as a teenager, even as a young adult, and I just have to just facepalm at my own stupidity of certain things that I believed and thought, how could I have believed? Whoa, man, just got a lot louder there. You know, I'm like, how could I have believed those things? How could I have thought that that could be the case? And you say, well, how did you realize that those things were wrong? Well, here's what I did. I read the Bible. I studied the Bible. And I realized, oh, what I believe contradicts what the Bible says. I need to get on God's program here. I need to take that thought captive. I need to bring that thought into the subjection and obedience of Christ, right? We need to cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And anytime anybody puts forth an opinion or a viewpoint or a doctrine that's against the Bible, you know what they're doing? They're actually exalting themselves against the knowledge of God. They're basically saying, like, I'm smarter than God. I know more than God. Isn't that what they're saying when they contradict the Word of God? Like, for example, just today, I saw somebody say on Facebook, anybody with even just an ounce of intelligence would know that the Supreme Being is not interested in what we wear. He's not interested in our clothing. Now look, that's somebody vainly puffed up in their fleshly mind, exalting themselves against the knowledge of God, saying Moses had no intelligence, Joshua had no intelligence, because he did everything that Moses commanded him to do, the judges had no intelligence, Saul, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, they all had no intelligence, right? Because Matthew talks about what you wear. Mark talks about what people wear. Luke talks about what people wear. You say, where? He talked about how the scribes and the Pharisees are wrong because they wear long clothing, long flowing garments. The Bible says not to wear clothing that pertains to a man if you're a woman, and that a man should not put on a woman's garment. The Bible talks about your clothing, again, it covering your nakedness, being modest. You say, well, the Supreme Being, doesn't believe. It's a good thing I don't believe in a Supreme Being. I believe in Jesus. I believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I don't just believe in a Supreme Being that says he's so supreme he can't be bothered to think about clothing. Well, the God that I believe in has the very hairs of my head numbered. Yeah, he does care about my clothing. He cares about every hair on my head. He cares about every piece of food that goes into my mouth and every word that comes out, every idle word that men shall speak. The Bible says that they'll give an account thereof in the day of judgment. You mean to expect me to believe the Supreme Being cares about what some atheist says? He's going to call them into account for every word that they speak, every idle word. Every time they bumped their head and said, oh, blankety blank, Jesus blank, and blaspheme the name of Christ? That'll be brought out. You expect me to believe the Supreme Being? Shut up with your Supreme Being. Supreme burrito. Okay? God, we're talking, it's not a supreme being, it's the Lord.
Right.
His name's Jehovah.
That's right.
His name's God. Okay? Well, let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Let's talk about God. Let's talk about Almighty God. Don't tell me about a supreme being. Okay? Let's talk about the God of the Bible. All right? And when you start saying, well, I just can't picture a God that X, Y, and Z, you're basically exalting yourself above the Lord. You're exalting yourself above the Word of God, like you know more than Him, and you're also exalting yourself above all the prophets and apostles that God used to pen down the Word of God, that He spake through them. They spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so the Bible says that we're casting down imaginations in this warfare. So we're involved in a battle, right? We're in a war. The Bible says that we should war a good warfare. He told Timothy, fight the good fight. War a good warfare, he tells him. And then here he says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. That's people that are contradicting the doctrine of the Bible, right? They're exalting themselves against the knowledge of God right here. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So whatever our opinion is, it should conform to God's word. So if we have some other opinion that diverges from God's word, we need to change and get on God's program. And what kind of a person thinks that they're just right about everything anyway? How could you just think, oh, I'm just right about everything? No, you are wrong about stuff. And when you see that you're wrong about stuff in the Bible, you change. Yeah. This is called repentance, right? When you realize that you're wrong about things and you change your mind and get on God's program. Flip over, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter number 12. Now, the Bible talks about the weapons of our warfare. What is the primary weapon of our warfare? It's the Word of God, because the Bible calls this weapon the sword of the Spirit. So we got this weapon, the sword of the Spirit, and this weapon is for a spiritual warfare so we can fight a battle, and that battle is for people's minds. Now, we're not fighting against people who have wrong opinions necessarily. Now, there are some that are just wicked and reprobate, or even some that aren't reprobate, but they might just need a good swift kick in the pants because they're just, you know, wicked. I don't know. I mean, there are people who need to be rebuked sharply, the Bible tells us, and that need to be straightened out. But the thing about it is, typically, the people that we're talking to, the vast majority of the time, that have a different point of view or they have these high thoughts, they're typically not our enemies. Okay, they are subverted by the devil, and we want to try to help them get out of that captivity that they're in. Okay, because whether they know it or not, they have been deceived and duped. And a lot of people today that are deceived and duped, tomorrow will wake up and believe right. So we don't want to just think, well, anybody who has a wrong opinion about anything, I'm going to fight them with the sword of the Spirit. No, let's use the sword of the Spirit to cast down the vain imagination of their mind and try to get them back onto our side. Try to get them back with the Bible. Okay. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we need to test things, right? We need to prove. Prove means test. Prove things and figure out what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Not how do I feel, not what do I want, what does God want? How does God feel about this? What is God's opinion on this? So the Bible says we're not to be conformed to this world in our thinking, but we're to be transformed by renewing our mind. Now, what does it mean to renew something, renewal? Well, when you think of renewal, I think of something getting old and outdated, so it needs to be renewed, right? So let's say you have a membership or a license or a permit or something, and it expires, it gets old or outdated, so then that thing needs to be renewed, needs to be brought up to date, right? I also think of renewal as, let's say you have a part of the city that is just a dump and it's dirty and things are breaking down and windows are broken out and things are boarded up, And then you have like an urban renewal. Have you heard that term? Where they come in and they kind of renew that neighborhood and they clean it up, they rebuild everything, they bring it up to code, they bring it into compliance with today's standards. And this is something that has to be done again. Typically, you don't renew things just once. Certain things have to be renewed every year. You might have to renew a library book after 3 weeks, okay? You know, the city might need to be renewed every 30 to 40 years, maybe 80 years or whatever. But renewal's not a one-time thing. You know, things have to be renewed. So what the Bible's saying here is that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So what'll happen is things that we've heard from the Word of God, teachings that we've received, they start to kind of slip. You know, the Bible says that we should take the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So Bible doctrines, teachings of the Word of God, after a while, if we're not reminded of them, if we don't hear them again or think about them again or read them again in the Bible, they start to slip. And we start to forget what we believe or why we believe it, or we start thinking, oh, maybe this is okay, or oh, maybe that's, you know, not so bad or whatever. So we need a renewal on that. We need our mind renewed, okay? Why? Because everything tends to decay. The house decays. The city decays. Our bodies are decaying. We have to make a point to renew our mind because our mind will slip into the patterns of this world. It'll slip into the wrong frame of mind if we don't make a point to renew it, right? So you go to church, you hear some Bible preaching, that's a renewal going on. You open your Bible tomorrow morning, Monday morning, and you get out and you read the Bible, and you read something that comes into conflict with what this world teaches, that comes into conflict with maybe how you were brought up or how typical America looks at it, and you know what? A little renewal takes place. Of, you know what? I need to get on God's program in this particular area. That's what it means to renew your mind. We need to be transformed. That means we need to change. And the way that we need to change is that we need to renew our mind. We need to change our point of view and not be conformed to this world. Flip over, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And the Bible uses this term in 1 Peter chapter 1 about girding up the loins. Okay, now girding up your loins has to do with the fact that many people in the Bible would be wearing garments that flowed somewhat, right? Like, let's say you have kind of a long coat or some kind of a long shirt or something that hangs down, right? Well, that's not really practical for doing any real work. You know, anybody who works in construction knows you can't have loose-fitting clothing hanging around because it'll get caught and hung up on things. So throughout history, people who do real work, they don't wear garments that are just hanging all over the place. They're not going to work in the farm in a toga, you know, which is just like some 15-foot-long sheet just wrapped around themselves. And there's, you know, we see this artwork of these Roman, you know, patrician senator types or whatever, and then we expect like, oh, that's what everybody dressed like back then. No, that's not what people typically would dress like, because people who actually did work for a living had to wear a practical garment, okay? So let's say there's a part of your garment that's hanging down, whether it's a long shirt or a long coat, because a lot of times people would wear coats that would hang down. Well, here's the thing. If you're going to gird up your loins, basically what you're doing there is you're fastening that which is loose. Okay, so whatever part of your garment's loose, you're kind of tucking that in, tightening the belt, cinching it down, fastening it. Okay, that is girding up your loins. You know, maybe today's equivalent would be like basically putting your belt on, tightening it, getting everything fastened and secure, and you're ready to actually do some serious work. Well, look what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. So when you're girding up the loins of your mind, what this is saying is there are certain things in your mind that could be lax or loose or just kind of hanging and flapping and just doing whatever. And what you're doing is you're tightening those things up. You're cinching those things down. You're bringing those thoughts into the obedience of Christ, as the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You're renewing your mind. You're girding up the loins of your mind. And the main thing I want you to see about this phrase, gird up the loins of your mind, is that it's not a passive activity of just letting your mind wander. That would be the opposite of girding up the loins of your mind. would be to just kind of turn on the TV and just kind of whatever comes in, turn on the radio, just flip through a magazine, flip through some news feed or something, and you're just kind of letting your mind do whatever. That's not girding up the loins of your mind. Girding up the loins of your mind is where you decide, you know what, I'm going to tighten things. I'm going to think about what God wants me to think about. You know, I'm going to think the right way about things. I'm going to make a point to think about the right things and not just letting your mind just do whatever, go with the flow, whatever. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. And look, sobriety goes hand in hand with this. Because if you're drunk or you're under the influence of marijuana, you think you have the loins of your mind girded up at that point when you're in an intoxicated state? No way. So girding up the loins of your mind, you're sober, you're awake, you're thinking. Go, if you would, to Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation chapter 20. The battle for your mind is what we're talking about today. There is a battle on for your mind. You have a weapon right here, the sword of the Spirit. You've got to use this to take control of your own mind. And then eventually you're going to use this also to help other people get their mind in conformity with Christ, right? But first you got to fix your own mind, and then you can help other people fix their mind. Because I'm telling you, the devil's winning this battle in America. When it comes to the battle for the mind, even amongst Christians, most people's minds today are just completely controlled by Hollywood, the media. That's why they have such bizarre opinions. That's why they just, and you'll hear them all saying the same thing, and they act like they thought of it themselves or something. And it's just the same thing that you hear from the devil's crowd. And they just parrot it. They just repeat it. Why? Because we cannot help but speak the things that we've seen and heard. What goes in is going to come out. And so when you're filling your mind with garbage, it's eventually going to come out of your mouth. And you'll start espousing the same opinions of literal atheists and agnostics when you're supposed to be teaching Christianity. Right? You're supposed to be speaking as the oracles of God. You're supposed to be talking like the Bible teaches, not just, well, here's what I think, you know, and it's just kind of like whatever is the belief of the month today in America. So in Revelation, it talks about the devil, and I want to point out how the devil's key attribute in Revelation is that he is the great deceiver. This is the thing that comes up over and over again. Verse 3, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more. That's his primary activity, deceiving the nations. Till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, after that he must be loosed a little season. Verse 8, and he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Look at verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Go to chapter 12 of Revelation. What is the scope of the devil's deceptive program? I mean, he's a great deceiver, right? He goes out and he deceives the nations. What is the scope? What does he accomplish with that? Look at Revelation 12, 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which tries to deceive. Is that what it says? He tries. He's trying. He hopes he will. No, it says, which deceiveth the whole world. He deceives the whole world. That means he deceives Canada. He deceives the United States. He deceives Mexico. He deceives Guatemala. He deceives Costa Rica. I mean, he deceives the whole world. And it says he was cast out into the earth and his angels were cast out with him. Go to chapter 18 of Revelation. He deceives the entire world. That is his program, and he is successful at it. That's why the Bible says that if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you overcome the world. Why? Because the whole world is against you actually receiving Christ as your Savior, because they're deceived by the devil in general. Look at Revelation 18. Revelation 18 is a prophetic passage about Babylon the Great. And look at Babylon the Great's program in verse 23. The light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. So whoever this end times Babylon that's getting wiped out in Revelation chapter 18 is, boy, by their sorceries, all nations were deceived. Now, I'll give you a hint as to who I think that is. There's a DVD back there called Babylon USA. You can take home and watch that. But here's the thing about that, is that let's say the U.S. is Babylon. Well, that fits the bill. Because it's our television and movies and music that has gone all over the world. And we literally have ambassadors today that the White House has put in place for the express purpose of teaching the whole world to accept sodomy. There's literally an LGBT ambassador. And it's the expressed goal of the Trump administration to make sure that it becomes legal in every country. That sodomy becomes legal in every country. And look, you don't believe me? It's on the real Donald Trump Twitter from June. There it is, right? Who saw that tweet where he said, hey, we're working hard. We're gonna decriminalize this everywhere in the whole world. Well, you know what? That's wicked, yeah, all right?
Right?
And by America's sorceries, the world's being deceived today, okay? By the devil's program, there's great deception going on, and we need to get in the battle and take back people's minds. Look, do you want to just sit here and just roll over and just let our world become just completely given over to sodomy, socialism, and something else that starts with an S that's really bad? You want to just sit back and just let that happen? I mean, I don't. I'm not just going to sit here and just let our world become satanic. There's the third S. There we go. You know, I don't want to let the whole world become satanic and sodomite and socialist and just sit back and just say, well, you know, we're just being salt and light over here in our little community doing our thing. Look, folks, I want to fight this battle. I wasn't given weapons of warfare so that I could just sit back and do nothing with it and have a little church, us four, no more. And, you know, we're just going to kind of occupy till he comes and just kind of hang in there, folks. And, you know, just hold on till the rapture or something. Folks, that's not what God has called us to do. Throughout the Bible, he raised up men of God that would get up and preach the truth. And, you know, there are godly men and women who actually fought against the wickedness that's out there. And look, I'm not talking about a physical fight. I'm talking about a battle for the mind. Okay, we need to get involved in this battle. We shouldn't just sit back and let everybody just be brainwashed, let ourselves be brainwashed, and just carried about with every wind of doctrine and by the sleight of men, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They have cunning craftiness. They are evil men and seducers that are going to wax worse and worse, the Bible says, as we reach the end times. So, first of all, how do we take control of our own mind? If you're going to take control of your own mind, you have to unplug from the world's media and get into the Word of God. You can't expect to just Monday morning, you roll out of bed Monday morning, first thing you do is flip on the morning TV or the morning radio. And you know what you're listening to is just foolish talking. I mean, I haven't listened to morning radio in a long time, but I've had jobs in the past where that's what's playing on the job site. Who's been to a job site where that stuff's just playing or you're in the car with that stuff? Folks, it's just foolishness. Isn't it just kind of like blah, 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 blah? It's just kind of idiotic nonsense. What's the word I'm looking for? Like blabbering, banter, vain jangling. It's the opposite of girding up the loins of your mind. It's just letting it all hang loose and just blah, blah, whatever's on our mind. Let's just get up and just flow at the mouth, whatever comes out, and nothing really sensible. I mean, it's not like an intelligent, you don't turn it on and they're like teaching you all this wisdom and knowledge and instruction about anything.
Right.
It's just kind of like, And it's the same thing when you turn on the TV, it's the same kind of blah, 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 you know. And you're like, well, I got to get the weather. It's going to be hot. Let me give you the weather report for the whole week. Monday is going to be hot. Tuesday is going to be hot. Wednesday is going to be hot. Thursday is going to be hot. It's going to be like 100 degrees every day plus. Maybe if you're lucky, you'll get a 98. So what's the difference if it's 102 or 98? All right. So it's going to be really hot. I don't think it's going to rain at all this week. All right, there you go. All right, now back to our regularly scheduled broadcast. So the point is, you know, it's a lot of just banter and blah, blah, blah. It's just kind of filling up space and time. But you know what? That's time that you could be using to meditate on the things of God. right? That's time that you could be using to read your Bible. That's time that you could be using to listen to an audio Bible. That's time that you could be using to pray to the Lord, right? Isn't that a good thing to do when you wake up? I mean, you first wake up. Look, you got to put on the new man. When you wake up by default, you're not in the Spirit. I don't care who you are. You wake up, you put on the new man. How do you do it? You sing a hymn, you read your Bible, you pray, you do that kind of stuff. And you say, well, you expect us to listen to the Bible the entire day? No, but how about first thing in the morning when you wake up, instead of listening to a bunch of airheads on the radio, a bunch of ditzes and airheads, just blah, 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 blah. Who cares? It's worthless. It's meaningless. You just waste, and then you're like, man, I don't understand how some people get so much done. It's like, you're wasting your life. You spend an hour every morning listening to junk. Or you just like barely wake up, and the first thing is just the Facebook feed. Now look, maybe there's going to be good stuff in your Facebook feed, or maybe there's going to be a bunch of meaningless junk. But you know what? Why don't you gird up the loins of your mind and reach for the New Testament first? And that'd be a good place to start, right? Reach for the New Testament. And you say, well, I'm too tired to open my eyes, you know. Then, you know, push play on the audio Bible. And look, I love audio Bible. Amen. You know, I really enjoy listening to the audio Bible. I think it's a great way. Now, some people, they say they're more visual. I'm not a visual person. I actually really like to listen to things. So I actually get more out of the Bible listening to it. Okay. Now, obviously, I read it as well. But I like to listen. I think it's great. And you know what? You can brush your teeth. You can do whatever you need to do while you're listening to the Word of God. You can pray. You can sing a hymn. Look, just that alone is life-changing. Right. Just wake up in the morning and just start out with something spiritual every day. Amen. I mean, how hard is it? Just something spiritual out of the gate. Just whether it's a chapter of the Bible, pray, or sing a hymn, just right out of the gate. And tell me that that's not going to make any kind of change in your life. Instead of just waking up and turning on whatever banter and blather, right? So, you know, and just avoid letting that stream of radio and TV and just whatever the news feed just come in and control your mind. Because you know what I've noticed is that there's always like a certain agenda for the day that everybody's talking about. Yeah. Have you noticed that? Like, I don't know what it's going to be this week, but I guarantee you there's going to be certain things this week that everybody's talking about. Like, what are some things lately that just everybody was talking about? Gun control is like a big thing. Everybody's talking about gun control, right? Brexit, is that even a thing anymore? That's a big thing? Okay. What was the big thing this week? 9/11. Inside job. Excuse me. Clear my throat there. Oh, the pedophile guy? What's that guy's name? Epstein? Oh, I kept wanting to say Weinstein. Was that another Jew pedophile? But anyway, oops, did I just say that? So, you know, basically, you know, Epstein, you know, committed suicide, you know, by shooting himself 100 times in the face or something, you know, whatever. I don't know how he did it, or he hung himself in some impossible way or something. But anyway, you know, there's always just something. I don't know what it is or, you know, but there's kind of just like that main news item. And then, like, as soon as the new thing comes out, everybody kind of forgets that, kind of moves on to the next thing. And then everybody's kind of, and I'm not saying these things are all bad, but I'm just saying that I don't like the idea of other people determining what I'm going to think about every day. You know what I mean? I mean, does anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm not saying these are bad subjects or bad things. Many of them could be good subjects. But I just don't like the idea that someone somewhere is deciding, okay, this is what Steve Harrison is going to think about on Monday. And then on Tuesday, he's going to think about this. And on Wednesday, he's going to think about this. And then on Thursday, he's going to think about this. Because you know what? There are some evil forces at work out there. You can call me a conspiracy theorist or whatever. But you know what? The devil out there, he wants you to think a certain way. And he's just kind of working on you every day, putting ideas in your mind, just kind of getting you to think a certain way, just kind of guiding your mind. What does it mean to gird up the loins? What if we just turn that stuff off? And what if we just thought about what we want to think about? You know, and we get in the Word of God, and we decide, hey, I'm going to study my Bible. I'm going to read the Bible. Or how about this? Hey, I'm going to go to the library, and I'm going to go check out some books from the library and learn about some stuff that I want to learn about. Right? I'm going to build some knowledge and wisdom, get some education. Right? I'm going to educate. You say, well, I educate myself by surfing the internet. That's not an education. Okay? Reading these little 500-word articles, right, is not the same as like getting a whole book and actually learning a subject. It's, you know, digging in and learning something. You know, how about getting control of your mind, girding up the loins of your mind by reading your Bible, turning on some Bible preaching. And by the way, it doesn't have to be some relevant Bible preaching. Get the most irrelevant preaching you can. Why? Because, you know, just learn the Bible. You know, it doesn't all have to just be relevant to right now. Hey, maybe it's relevant to 6 months from now. Hey, if it's in the Bible and it's not relevant today, it'll be relevant tomorrow. Or it'll be relevant a year from now. Everything in the Bible at some point in your life becomes relevant. Relevant. So learn the whole thing. Don't tell me like, oh, that part's not relevant. It will be. Folks, there are some scriptures that are relevant in 2019 that I never thought would be relevant. You know, like that verse about people having their privy member cut off and stuff. It's like, I never thought that was going to be relevant, but it's relevant. Folks, what kind of stuff is going to be relevant tomorrow? You don't know. And you say, well, I'm single. Hey, the marriage stuff could be relevant to you in the future. Okay, child rearing could be relevant to you in the future. Stuff about being a senior citizen, old age, that's going to be relevant to you someday. Learn the Bible, okay? Read your Bible, listen to preaching, go to the library, read a book. Do something to exercise your brain in an intelligent way. Don't just be this passive, just hang loose and let all the worldly junk come in. And then you wonder why your opinions are so out of sync with the Word of God. It's because you don't have control of your mind. And you know, you say, well, I want to watch stuff online. You know, seek out intelligent documentaries to watch. Right? Seek out something intelligent. Seek out something intelligent and educational. If you must watch something, if you must watch a video, find something intelligent to watch. Find something where you can learn something. Pick a topic you like, but for crying out loud, the last thing you should do is just go to YouTube's homepage and just see what's trending. Folks, it's a jungle out there. You know what I'm talking about? Just, oh, I'm just going to go to YouTube. Look, never type in YouTube.com and just see what's trending. It's junk. Does somebody have a phone that they could pull up YouTube's homepage? Somebody help me out with this. Somebody have a smartphone, just pull up YouTube, and let's just see what comes up. Is it somebody who's signed out? Somebody who's not signed in? Because otherwise it's going to recommend all the stuff you like, all the preaching and everything. Does somebody have a YouTube they can just sign out, to sign out of your account, and just hand me your phone? I would do mine, but mine's, are you signed out? Are you in YouTube? Because my phone is live streaming.
So. All right, here is trending.
Okay, let's see what we got here. So we just go to YouTube, just bored. Okay, let's see here. Old Spice, the next episode. Felix does it again. Another epic world record from the 53-year-old strongman. Post Malone Photoshop makeover, removing tattoos and long hair. Oh, here we go. Here's a female MMA fighter who's being proposed to in the ring. So we got a female MMA fighter in short shorts and some dude in his underwear is kneeling to her. He's also an MMA fighter and he's proposing to her. Stunning in-ring proposal. I'm sorry, it's not MMA, it's WWE. Which I guess, is that the WWF? Isn't that the new incarnation? Okay, Sean Diddy Combs proves he's scared of clowns. And this is on the Ellen DeGeneres show. Okay. When Usain Bolt crashed into a flower girl in Oslo in 2012. Flashback. Well, that's important. The Addams Family, starring Chloe Grace Moretz and Charlize Theron. Oh, a remake. You're kidding. Cleaning the dirtiest Air Jordans ever. How to build a mini house with mini bricks. Tom Holland switching to an American accent for 6 minutes and 10 seconds. I don't even know who that is or what he normally talks like. It's Raw, Kitchen Nightmares. German Shepherd protects babies and kids compilation. Unboxing the 100 million YouTube award by PewDiePie. Iron Man versus Thanos. Fight scene.
Melting chocolate cake for all, zebra dessert, magic brownies, insane BMX versus MTB hill bomb race, Family Guy, Meg is super excited on her date, introducing iPhone 11, crushing crunchy and soft things by car, ice watermelon versus car. John Cena and Brock Lesnar get into a brawl that clears the entire locker room. Will a solar beam reflect or melt a mirror? Full video, Psycho Sayan Saho Prabhas Shraddha K. Tanish Bachi. I don't know what that means. How to make a helicopter matchbox toy. The 10 most funny penalty kicks in football. Arnold Schwarzenegger shows his gym and refrigerator. Whale jumps out of nowhere during sightseeing tour. Baby screams with laughter, touching husky's ears till he falls asleep. Kid misses ball. Another gives him a souvenir. Minecraft, but it rains creepers. Stewie and Brian become attached. I mean, which of these is going to make me any smarter? I just read a whole... I mean, did we just read a lot of videos? Which of those is going to make me smarter? Which of those is going to bring me closer to God? Which of those is going to kill brain cells? All of them. Do you see what I mean? I mean, look, that's folks, that's what's popular. That's who has millions of views. I mean, those videos were like 67 million views, 50 million views, 30 million views. And let me tell you something. It's by design to make you stupid so they can control you and herd you and manipulate you. They want you to be stupid, and that device is making you stupid. If you turn that thing on, look at all that stuff, you're just getting stupid. And you know what? They are on an agenda now to censor people like myself and others who tell the truth. I mean, my channel is hanging by a thread. It's about to be gone. It was a good run, though, amen? But look, I can go on YouTube, Paul, and I can type in the names of Paul Wittenberger's videos that have millions of views. I can type in, like, New World Order Bible Versions, and you know what? It won't even come up. Right. His upload of New World Order Bible Versions, that's like 1.5 million views or something. Overwhelming like to dislike ratio. Everybody's staying and watching it. Super popular video. How come when I go on and I type New World Order Bible Versions, I have to, like, scroll down to even find his main upload? Same thing with Marching to Zion, Babylon USA. Some of them will never... Some of them, I've typed in the names of your films with Framing the World after it, and I can't even get it to come up. Videos that people want to watch. Videos that have a million views. Videos that have tons of likes. They are being buried by YouTube. Okay, they're burying our stuff because they don't want people to hear the truth. They want people to watch PewDiePie, Ellen DeGeneres. They want them to watch the Avengers, and they want them to watch some female wrestler getting proposed to in the ring. That's what they want you to watch, folks. They want you to be an idiot. They want you to be carnal. They don't want you to think about the things of God. They don't want you to know the truth. There isn't, and anybody who says anything against the homos, it's taken down. It's deleted.
Right.
It's flagged. It's removed. It's hate speech. Why? Only one viewpoint allowed. One opinion allowed. If you are going to take control of your mind, you have to make a point to take control of your mind and stop letting them decide. If you're going to go on YouTube with a plan of what you're going to go on there and watch, something that's educational, that's intelligent, that's spiritual, just whatever you go on there to watch. Don't just go on there and just surf YouTube. It's a bad idea, okay? Same thing, radio, TV. Look, that's why we've been preaching against TV for years. And the preaching against TV is kind of irrelevant now in many ways because now it's been replaced by the internet. I don't even think most people even watch TV anymore. Maybe they do. I don't know. But I think TV and internet have kind of been integrated somehow. So it's kind of a blurry line there of what's TV and what's internet. But here's the problem that I've always had with TV, because a lot of people would be like, well, but there's some good stuff on TV. Here's the problem that I've always had with it is that basically they decide what you're going to watch. And I always thought of it this way, because people said, well, why aren't you against the internet?
Because I look at it this way, the internet's like a library that I walk into. I walk into the library and I choose which aisle I go down. And yeah, there's bad stuff at the library. There's junk and wicked things at the library. But you can go to the library, you can walk to the aisle you want, and you can get some good reading material and get some good learning. Amen? Well, here's the thing about that, though. TV is like the Oprah Winfrey book club. You know, it's like you're not going and picking what you're going to look. It's just like, here's what you're going to read this week. Here's what you're going to learn. Here's what you're going to watch. Here's what you're going to do. Folks, we need to gird up the loins of our mind and not just let Hollywood and TV and all these programs with all their sodomite characters and all the one-night stands and the fornication and adultery and drunkenness being glorified and just watch all that stuff. It's going to affect us. We've got to put on the new man. How do you expect to be spiritual if you're just pouring that stuff in your mind and you're not reading your Bible? You ever read the Bible in 3 days? Haven't read the Bible in 5 days or something, but you watched every episode of whatever. You listened every morning to so-and-so and so-and-so, the dits, bimbo, blonde, whatever, that's, you know, on there telling you about whatever, you know, the nonsense. Folks, how do you expect to have control of your mind? But I got to move on to my next point. Because I don't want you to just take control of your mind, although that's step one. Okay. But number two, you got to talk to other people and try to help them see the light on things. Now, if you would go to, I got to skip some stuff for sake of time, but go to Matthew 28, if you would. Matthew chapter 28. I was going to turn to Ephesians 6, where he talks about we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, and we need to open our mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel and all that. But let's go straight to Matthew 28. And what I want to explain to you is that, you know, you got to take control of your own mind. I think I've made that point, right? Everybody understands what I'm saying. Like, you know, on Monday, what are you going to think about tomorrow? What are you going to think about tomorrow? What are you going to say? Well, I'm going to be at work all day. Okay, but you're not going to be at work all day. You're probably only going to be at work for 8 hours. What are you going to think about the rest of the time? Now, look, I hope you spend some time with family or loved ones or whatever. But, you know, I guarantee you're going to have several hours tomorrow where you are going to think about something. Whether it's on a drive, whether it's while you're getting ready in the morning or getting ready for bed or just any downtime, waiting, breaks. Look, what are you going to think? Are you just going to go on the internet and just surf whatever the TV show and the feed and the trending? Or are you going to gird up the loins of your mind and say, you know what, here's some learning I'm going to do. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to study. I'm going to accomplish something. You know, do something with your life. Amen? Control your mind. And you know what you're going to find? When you unplug from the world's programming and you start getting more into the Word of God, listening to Bible preaching, you know what you're going to find out is that the Bible is going to start making a lot of sense to you. And the preaching is going to start making a lot of sense. And you're going to start looking at the world and think that the world's a crazy place. That's how I feel about the world. It's crazy. People are nuts. You'll start seeing everything so clearly and you'll be like, wow, this whole world's insane. And look, the world out there thinks that our church is insane. They think that we're nuts. They're nuts.
Yeah, that's right.
They are crazy. They've lost their minds. And so we're sane, and so now we appear crazy to them. Because we're just believing the normal stuff that the Word of God teaches, that nature itself teaches us, that people have believed for thousands of years. All of a sudden, we're just so crazy. It's because you're brainwashed. And, you know, like some people are probably mad and offended that I threw that fairy out of the church earlier. But folks, what if that guy would have walked in looking and acting like that in the year 1990? No fundamental Baptist church would have put up with that.
Right.
Coming in. And here's a tip. If somebody asks you this question, hey, are you a homosexual? The answer is no. Without hesitation.
Right.
Huh? Are you a sodomite? Huh? Are you a homosexual? What? Huh? I'm just here for church. What? Are you a homo? Well, no, I'm just here for church. It's like, well, you took too long to answer, buddy. Come in here looking like a duck, quacking like a duck, walking like a duck. You know, we're going to assume you're a duck. And then somebody flat out asks you to your face and confronts you. Oh, well, huh? What? Boo? Do you speak English? Don't you love it when you ask people a question, they're like, huh? What? It's like, I'm 1 foot from you. I'm speaking clear English. What did you not understand? That's not a complicated question. But, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, well, that guy needs Jesus. You know what? That guy is going to burn in hell because he's already a reprobate anyway. And you know what? If he needs Jesus, then you know what? He can come back dressed like a man next time and not dress in drag. Okay? You're not going to come in here in women's clothing looking all faggoty and feminine and just be like, oh, I'm here for Jesus. Get the hell out of here, you pervert. And let me just explain something to you. Homos aren't interested in Jesus.
Right.
They don't even want to retain God in their knowledge.
Right.
They don't want to retain God in their knowledge. You say, well, I don't believe that. Then get out if you don't believe the Bible. Romans 1 says that men who desire other men do not want to retain God in their knowledge. What do you not understand about this?
Right.
They don't want to retain God in their knowledge. Now, riddle me this. If someone doesn't want to retain God in their knowledge, why would they come to church? Is it because they want to learn about God? No, they don't want to retain God. Is it because they love God? They're haters of God.
Right.
You know what? Because they're on a program. They're on an agenda of infiltrating churches. Wake up, folks. Look around. They're infiltrating churches today. Their goal, and they've stated this openly, is to infiltrate politics, to infiltrate the Boy Scouts, to infiltrate the Girl Scouts, to infiltrate churches, to infiltrate neighborhoods, just to insert themselves into every part of society, and they want to corrupt the church and bring it down from the inside. And a lot of these sodomites are even behind pulpits in America, subverting the church. And let me just help you identify them. Any preacher who gets up and defends these fags is probably a fag himself. And by the way, let me just, here, set this one to private back there on the live streamer. Because we're about to earn a strike, amen? Folks, let's just name the names. And look, if you don't like it, then get out. Because let me tell you something. We're taking the gloves off.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I'm not going to sit here and allow my country to turn into Sodom and Gomorrah and just sit back and let it happen. And you know what? If the idiots in the old IFB want to just let us go off the cliff and just merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Row, row, row your boat gently toward the cliff. Merrily, 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 merrily. Look, go ahead, but I'm not going with you.
Right.
And you know what? And you know what? Maybe if you actually did go get a library card, maybe if you go get a library card, and you know, you got your Hulu and your Roku and YouTube Red and Netflix and everything, here's something that's free, a library card. And you know what you can do with your library card? You can get a book on ancient Greece. And then you can get a book on ancient Rome. And then you can get a book on any civilization that has ever been filled with sodomites, and you can find out that they were all destroyed, and they all became filthy, horrible places that were eventually wiped out and destroyed. Sodom and Gomorrah, ancient Greece, Pompeii. I mean, just go do some research, friend, and understand that every single society that goes down the road we're on right now, they all get destroyed, all of them. Does everybody understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Now, that's not what TV is going to show you. That's not what your little morning host is going to show you. That is the truth. Every single society that gets to this stage that we're at right now, where all the artwork becomes pornographic, and all the culture just becomes smutty and filthy, adultery, fornication are the norm, sodomy, just every single society that gets like, and you know what's so funny? They think it's like new or something. They think it's like a brand new thing. Like, we're progressive.
Right.
They literally think it's progressive and new. There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. You think America is the first country to go down this road? Judah did the same thing. If you'd actually, you know, okay, you don't have a library card? Fine. You have a Bible? Because you can look it up in the Bible, and you can see when Judah became like Sodom, what happened? They got wiped out. They got killed. They got ripped up. They got destroyed. They got, and the Bible's pretty graphic. You love violent superhero movies. Why don't you read a violent story in the Bible about a nation called the nation of Judah that became like unto Sodom and Gomorrah? And in Isaiah chapter 1, he called them Sodom and Gomorrah. And what happened to them? Well, I don't want to spoil it for you, but, you know, read it. Read the book of Jeremiah and find out. It's too long. Do we need to make you a little Jeremiah mini-series or something? Folks, every society that's gone down this road, and look, have you noticed how much things have changed the last 5 years?
Yeah.
What's going to happen 5 years from now? What's going to happen 10 years from now if we don't raise our voices and put a stop to it? We can slow this thing down. Okay. Or we can just be like the old IFB and just let it go. And listen, these people are enemies of Christ. Let me just call out one of these enemies of Christ right now. And you know what? I don't care if you like. So a local church in town said, hey, you should have nothing to do with Steven Anderson because he attacked Paul Chappell. Well, let me tell you something. Paul Chappell is wicked.
Yeah.
Okay, and listen, Paul Chappell's right-hand man is called John Getch. Who knows who I'm talking about? A couple people. Paul Chappell is a pastor of this big, giant, independent Baptist church in Southern California, and all the churches around here, they go to his leadership conference, and they look to him as their leader. Churches here in Phoenix, Arizona, they look to him as their leader, Paul Chappell, and they send their students to West Coast Baptist College, and they send them to Lancaster, California, to his church. And let me tell you, first of all, the last couple weeks, people have been sending me pictures and audio clips of John Getch on Wednesday nights just teaching a full-blown work salvation.
Wow.
He's like, well, you can't have your sin and salvation. You got to pick. So I can't have salvation if I sin? Well, then we're all doomed because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not.
Right. Right.
But people are just sending me all these just pictures of the material they're handing out on Wednesday nights, audio clips of the guy teaching lies, teaching garbage, and then somebody sent me a clip this morning of him getting up and saying this. And man, I hope I can remember this because I only heard it like twice. Let me see how my memory serves. But what's that? Yeah, BitChute, there we go. But it's on Pastor Jonathan Shelley's channel, the Steadfast Baptist Church channel, had this video. It's called like the Sodomite Deception or something. Okay. And it has this guy, John Getch, okay, independent fundamental Baptist. And here's what he said. He said, every person on this earth deserves respect and dignity regardless of their sexual orientation. This is in a Baptist church in the house of God. How could someone just not be afraid that God is not just going to strike them with a thunderbolt? How can anyone be that bold? I mean, do you not even believe God exists, John Getch? How in the hell can you stand up behind your pulpit as a man of God and not think God's going to strike you dead to stand up and talk about people's sexual orientation? You faggot! You're wicked! How can you get behind the sacred desk? Have some respect for the house of God, for God's word, for God's pulpit. This book doesn't talk about a sexual orientation. It talks about sodomites, filthy dogs, vile, brood, beasts, damnation, and hell. That's what it talks about, you faggot. Well, how dare you call him a faggot? Well, you know what? Faggot, faggot, faggot. Because you know what? If he's not a faggot, then why is he so soft and interested in defending fags?
Right.
He's a fag-loving idiot at best. He's a faggot at worst. Then they sent that faggoty idiot to go start a church in Tempe.
Right.
Pastor Polka Dot. Let me tell you something. John Getch gets up and says, you should never be ugly to these people. How dare you to be ugly to these people and vile to them? He literally said that preaching hard against sodomites, that I'm being vile. Folks, Is anybody listening to what I'm saying?
Yes.
Woe unto them that call light darkness and darkness light. They call sweet bitter and bitter sweet. So somebody who gets up and says, hey, that's disgusting, that's wicked, you're gross. You're gross. He says, you're vile if you do that. He literally used the word vile. He said, how dare you be ugly and vile to these precious people? Every single person deserves respect and dignity, regardless of their sexual orientation. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible, look up the word respect in the Bible. Hey, maybe tomorrow you can unplug your idiot box. You can unplug your television for a while. And why don't you do a little word search in the Bible on respect? And you know, the first thing you're going to find is God not respecting someone. It's the first thing you're going to find. Entry number one under respect, Genesis chapter 4. God had not respect unto Cain's offering. And Cain's offering. It's the first thing. You think God respects fags? You think God wants to dignify? Yeah, it's really dignified to be a homo. Yeah, dignity and respect, and how dare you be vile to them. What does the Bible? Okay, let's do a little word search on vile. John Getch. Let's do a word search on vile. John Getch. You know what it says under vile? It says that God gave them over to vile affections. You know what's vile? Being a homo.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says, John Getch. The Bible says being a homo is vile. The Bible says that God does not respect the wicked. God is angry with the wicked every day. God says that he hates those who hate him.
Right. Amen.
But we're supposed to be giving them respect and dignity, and don't be ugly. You know what's ugly? That faggot that I threw out an hour ago. That guy's ugly. Oh, it was so ugly when you threw him out. No, he was ugly. I don't want my kids looking at some faggot. Folks, there's a battle for your mind. And you know, you're not going to hear this anywhere else.
That's right. That's good.
Yeah, I don't like this. Then get out of here, you fag-loving idiot, you queer bait, you queer little sissy. We don't need you here anyway. Because, you know, why don't you go move to Lancaster, California? Because they love all fags and trannies, and they welcome them all in. You know, so when he's not teaching works-based salvation on Wednesday night, then he turns around and says, oh, how dare you be vile to these precious people, and they deserve respect and dignity. Place is a fag factory. Churning out little faggoty pastors, little pink shirt wearing, little queer, little sissy preachers, all of America, destroying this country, destroying our world, destroying our youth, perverting our youth. And you know what? To get up behind God's sacred desk and not preach the Bible, but he's exalting himself with this, you know, like that verse we saw in 2 Corinthians 10. He's lifting himself up. He knows more than God. He doesn't care what the Bible says about being vile. He doesn't care what the Bible says about respect. He doesn't care what the Bible says about dignity. He's going to get up behind the pulpit in the house of God and give his faggot agenda. May he be struck dead for standing up behind the pulpit and wishing that the sodomites would be blessed and calling God's people vile. He's calling a Bible-believing Christian vile for getting ugly with a homo. You know, if we'd be ugly with these homos, they'd be back in the closet where they belong. Now, that was a little off topic from my outline. But let me explain something to you. The internet is totally censored. This message about the sodomites has to get out, put on private, or my whole channel will be deleted. But don't worry, it's not private. When I say it's on private, that's just on my main channel. I'm going to upload it to 20 other channels.
Amen.
It's not private in the sense I don't want this message to get out. I want this message to get out. Okay. But it's private on the main channel so that I don't get my main channel deleted. I'm just being strategic about which housetop I'm going to shout it from. But I'm going to shout it from 10 other housetops. I'm going to shout it from BitChute. I'm going to shout it from, you know, other channels and stuff like that. But let me explain something to you. If you think that this battle for the mind is going to be waged 100% on the internet, you're wrong. Because waging this battle for the mind on the internet is like waging it with one arm tied behind your back. Because we're constantly being hamstrung by the censors down at YouTube, the censors down at Facebook, the censors down at Twitter, because they are literal faggots. They're literal pedophiles. And listen, in case you're too stupid to know this, every homosexual is a pedophile.
Amen.
And you know what? Here, let me help you get a library card so you can go read up on ancient Greece and Rome, and you will read that pedophilia has always been part of the homo lifestyle, all the way back to ancient Greece and ancient Rome. But, oh, I'm sure it's different now, huh? They're a bunch of pedophiles. If they haven't done it already, that's what they want to do. Whether they've done it or not, that's what they're going to do eventually. That's what they are. They go after vile, strange desires. They're evil and wicked. And if you love these fags, then you don't love children. You should love their victims. That's who you should love, you little love muffin, you. Why don't you love the victim? You're so loving. You're this lovable fuzzball. It's funny how you don't love my kids. It's funny how you don't love the God that they blaspheme and hate. You just, you know why you love fags and weirdos? Is because you've been watching them on TV. That's why you love them so much. You're a brainwashed fool. But let me tell you something. This battle's not going to be waged 100% online. Oh, no. Because we're at a disadvantage. That's their turf. This battle has to be waged in real life. You know what I'm talking about? I'm about actually talking to people. And look, whether it's about giving people the gospel or whether it's about getting people off this fag agenda that everybody's brainwashed to accept, you have to do it in real life, not just online. So a lot of people are never going to see this stuff online because the powers that be are going to make sure that they never see this stuff online. So look, that's why a lot of people just think, oh, we'll just evangelize through the internet. No. You know what? Here's how we evangelize. We knock on people's door and we give them the gospel. But you know what? The Great Commission is not just to get people saved. What? Look down at your Bible in Matthew 28. Aren't there three components to the Great Commission?
That's right.
Teach all nations, verse 19, baptizing them, and then look what it says in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world, amen. Doesn't the Bible say part of our job as Christians is to teach everything that the Bible teaches? Everything that Christ has commanded, not just a portion of it. So if we're just getting people saved, that's not the whole job. And you know what? I'm all for getting people saved, and getting people saved is great, but you know what? Getting people saved is not going to stop our country from turning into a Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah. It'll get people out of hell,
right.
But how are we going to stop this downward spiral that we're on where there's just transvestites? Look, my wife went to pizza last night in Tempe with my oldest son. They went out for pizza, and there was just a guy in drag in a skirt. What was he wearing? High heels and a skirt? What was he wearing? Leggings and a mini dress at the pizza place.
I saw a guy with a beard.
Did he have a beard? They didn't look that long. Yeah. They didn't. See, my wife has this trick. She when somebody like that's around, she takes her glasses off. That just kind of blurred out. It's like the ultimate like cloaking device to just like, she's just like, I'm taking my glasses off, you know. So that way she can save her eyesight, you know. It's like you don't want to watch people when they weld, and you don't want to look at that. You know, you destroy your eyes. Don't look directly into the sun either, amen? So, you know, you don't want to look at this stuff. But the point is, like, is that the world you want to grow up in? Is that what you want to go to church and just have that? That's what the old IFB wants to do, apparently. It's what Lancaster wants to do, apparently, right? You want to just, every time you go to the grocery store, every time you go to the restaurant, you want to see that? I don't. I don't want my kids to see that. Because you know what? That, my kids, it's abuse for them to see that. It's corrupting their mind to see that crap. And I don't want to see it, and I don't want them to see it. And God help you if you turn that stuff on by choice on TV and watch that stuff. But anyway, the point is, how do we get our message out? You got to talk to people in real life. And here's what I find. When you talk to people about this in real life, 90% of the time they're on your side.
Right. That's true.
Yeah. When you talk about this stuff in real life and say, hey, I'm against this homo agenda. Here's what the Bible says. And you open your Bible and show it to somebody. Boy, 9 times out of 10, they're like, yeah, that's what the Bible says. See, it's in cyberspace where there's this weird alternate reality that makes it seem like everybody accepts this stuff. and makes it seem like everybody's against the Word of God, and everybody's progressive, and everybody's liberal, and everybody's for it. When you actually start talking to people, you'll start realizing that most people are pretty sensible when you actually talk to them. You know, we need to start talking to people about this stuff. And you know what? I'm all for soul winning. I think soul winning should always be number one. Amen? You know, we should always go out every week and knock on people's doors and tell them about Jesus, tell them about the gospel, get them saved. But what about when we run into people that are already saved? You know, if we run into somebody who's already saved and they actually, and I'm not talking about people who are saved but just clearly have no interest in the things of God. A lot of people are just too caught up in the cares of this world. Amen? But you know, when you run into somebody who's already saved and they actually, you know, seem like they're interested in the things of God, you know, put a CD in their hand.
Yeah.
We got a great CD back there. It's called The Days of Lot. You can guess what that sermon's about. And you know what? All that stuff back there is free. And you know, see all those shelves of DVDs and CDs and stuff? That stuff's all free. And you know what? We have boxes of that stuff. That right there, what you're seeing is the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
We have a whole room just lined with shelves of that stuff. And you know what it is? It's just like ammunition in the battle for the mind. And you say, well, you know, I don't want to waste it or whatever. Hey, look, if you put that in somebody's hand that seems mildly interested in the things of God, you're not wasting it.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not, don't give it to people that have no interest. But, you know, if somebody's like, oh, cool, man, oh, you guys are saved. Yeah, you know, say, hey, you need to check out this sermon, you know. Listen to this. Because you know what? Especially if they're in some community church, they're in some watered-down church.
Right.
What if you could take somebody who's already saved, and what if you could actually get them in big boy church
right.
instead of the baby church that they're in? You know, you could actually get them out soul winning. You could actually get them living for God. You could end up getting tons of people saved by getting somebody living for God, getting somebody soul winning, right? So look, don't be shy. And look, your Christian friends and stuff, hey, why don't you challenge them on some of this stuff?
Right.
And I'm not saying to be rude or obnoxious about it, but you know what? Challenge them and say, look, you know, have you thought about what the Bible says here? You know, and you know what? I find that the vast majority of the time people agree with me. Because, you know, if they're saved and you're showing them stuff straight out of the Bible, a lot of these people have just never even heard stuff like this. They've never even read Leviticus. They've never even read the book of Romans. They don't even know what the Bible says. They're clueless. And folks, we've all been there. I mean, I grew up in church and I didn't know what the Bible says until I was like 16 and read it for myself. So my point is, fight the battle for the mind in your own heart, number one. And then number two, help other people renew their mind. And you know what? If we could just forget all the gatheists and fagnostics out there. If we could just get God's people to believe what the Bible says about the Sodomites and about fornication and drunkenness and adultery and whatever, you know, we could clean this nation up. There are a lot of saved Christians out there. There are 50 million people who identify as Baptists. I'm not saying they're all saved, but a lot of them are saved. Probably half of them are saved, okay? So you've got just this mass amount of people that are saved. Because look, when you go out soul winning and you run into somebody who's Baptist, how often are they saved?
Right. Right. Yeah.
What percentage of the time is somebody saved?
80, 90.
Right? When they're Baptist, they typically give you the right answer about what? 80, 90% of the time?
Yeah. Right.
70% of the time? Look, a lot of the time.
Right.
Folks, if we could just get Baptists to actually stand up for what's right in this country and actually believe what's right, we could clean this nation up. We could clean this place up, friend. But the problem is that the Baptists, they're not listening to preaching. They're not tuned into the things of God. They're not reading their Bible cover to cover. I would venture to guess 99% have not read the Bible cover to cover even once. 99% easily, okay, of those 50 million Baptists. It's probably less than a million have read the whole thing cover to cover out of 50 million. But man, if we could get them to actually read their Bible and unplug from the junk of this world, folks, they'd all believe the same way that we believe on these things. Because this isn't a controversy. This issue of the Sodomites, it's not controversial. Oh, yeah, it's really controversial. Yeah, if you're an idiot, kind of an idiot thinks that sodomy is controversial. That's like saying, well, it's really controversial whether murder is really bad or not. I mean, thou shalt not kill. I mean, I don't know. That's pretty radical. Folks, this is worse than murder.
Yeah.
The Bible classifies it worse than murder.
Yeah.
It's punished by the death penalty in the Bible, and it's punishable worse than murder. Look, people, not everybody who murdered in the Bible get the death penalty. The Bible even says that if you just got angry and in a crime of passion murdered someone, you don't get the death penalty. You only get the death penalty if it's premeditated in the Bible. Did you know that?
Yep.
Not every murderer in the Bible is even put to death, but you know what? Every sodomite's put to death, whether it's premeditated or not.
Right.
Won't care if it was first, second, or third degree. Doesn't matter. It's the worst sin in the Bible. It is like the bottom of the... In Romans 1, they're on the downward spiral. It's the bottom. It's the bottom of the toilet of sin. And you're like, well, I mean, you know, let's give them their dignity. They're scum. They're filth. They're pedophiles. I hate them. I wish they would all die. That's what the Bible says. It says they shall be put to death. It says, I hate them that hate thee. That's what the Bible says. And if you don't know where to find those scriptures, here, write this down real quick. Psalm 139, Romans chapter 1, the book of Jude, 2 Peter chapter 2. And if you can't find it, I can't help you. Leviticus 20:13, write that down. Okay, if you can't figure that out, I give up. And I'm not going to stop preaching it because YouTube and Twitter and Facebook, they can all go to hell, and I'm going to preach what the Bible says. And you know what? You don't like that I threw some little fairy out? Then you know, you go with him. You go go ask him where he goes to church, and you can follow him there. Maybe you guys can sit together. But you know what? I don't care if half the church leaves. Because you know what? Me and my family are going to go to a church with people who love God.
Amen.
And we're not going to look at a bunch of weirdos. Not happening.
See,
you don't love people. Really? Is that why we go out and knock doors every week and give the gospel to the lost?
Right.
You know, the loving church down the street that's all fag friendly, they don't do any soul winning. And when John Getch goes out soul winning, he's soul damning because he's teaching works-based salvation of repent of your sins to be saved. How we can't have your sin and Jesus. You can't have both. Well, okay. So how do I get rid of all my sins then, John Getch? How do I stop sinning? Can you help me learn how to completely stop sinning? Because the Apostle Paul never figured it out. John never figured it out. Because guess what? Everybody's a sinner. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We're all sinners saved by grace. You have to get rid of your sin to be saved. Why don't you get rid of your sin of blaspheming God behind the pulpit with your filthy mouth? Oh, you'd be so vile to homos. I mean, how can he not be afraid of a thunderbolt just striking him dead? No fear of God to get up and say that. I mean, the perverts that they put behind that pulpit, acting all queer. And you're like, well, you shouldn't accuse him of being queer. Look, anybody who acts queer should be called out. Anybody who gets up and gets, like that Shetler guy that they had preaching, you know what? Anybody who acts that way should just be assumed that they're queer. And if you don't want people to assume you're queer, then quit acting like one. Amen? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord God. And we just pray that, Lord, you would help people to wake up, Lord. I know that there are people under the sound of my voice right now that are uncomfortable and they're offended, Lord. I just pray that they would just take the challenge and just shut off all the TV and internet for a while and just get in your word and start actually learning facts about these things, Lord, and actually doing real research, and they would actually come to the truth and realize that this world that we're living in has gone completely insane, and that any Baptist preacher who would get behind the pulpit and say that filth is completely insane and the people who listen to him are insane. Lord God, I pray that you would help our minds to be renewed. And Lord, if people get angry and leave, Lord, I just pray that the remnant that is left behind would actually stand up and fight this battle, Lord, and actually open their mouths and not be scared to speak the truth, Lord. Help us to speak the truth and help us to share DVDs and CDs and flash drives and also just to open our mouths and have conversations with people so that people aren't just 100% brainwashed by Satan. Lord, help us to get the truth out, whether Zuckerberg will let us or not, Lord. Help us to do it the old-fashioned way if we have to, Lord, by just talking to one person at a time. Lord, I pray that you would just stir a great revival amongst all 50 million Baptists in America, Lord. I just pray, Lord, just do a work in your people. Just the ones that are saved alone, Lord, could clean this nation up and turn this world upside down with the gospel and also put the devil's crowd on the run where they belong, Lord. Help us to win this battle for the mind, Lord. Help us to start with ourselves and clean up our own minds and then help other people get the beam out of their eye. Once we get the beam out of our eye, help us to get the mote out of their eye and clean up this town. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.